Good morning and welcome to worship on this fourth Sunday after Epiphany. Special welcome to those who are worshiping with us from home. We're glad that you're joining us. Brief announcement before we begin today as I invite the congregation to stand and face the processional cross. So if you'd stand and face me at the baptismal font and the corral behind me and around us. But I just want to point out in my announcement at the beginning of the service today that John, who is Crucifer here, is also an artist, and one of his paintings is hanging in our narthex. You may not have noticed it, but it's a painting of the sanctuary. So I encourage you to take a look at that and know that here's our artist right here. So we gather to give thanks to God for the gift of baptism as we begin our worship today. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God, the fountain of living water, the rock who gave us birth, our light, and our salvation. Joined to Christ in the waters of baptism, we are clothed with God's mercy and forgiveness. So let us give thanks for the gift of baptism. We give you thanks, O God, for in the beginning your Spirit moved over the waters, and by your word you created the world, calling forth life in which you took delight. Through the waters of the flood you delivered Noah and his family. Through the sea you led your people Israel from slavery into freedom. At the river your son was baptized by John and anointed with the Holy Spirit. By water and your word you claim us as your beloved children, making us heirs of your promise and servants of all. We praise you for the gift of water that sustains life, and above all, we praise you for the gift of new life in Jesus Christ. Shower us with your Spirit. Renew our lives with your forgiveness, grace, and love. To you be given honor and praise through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen.
Thank you. grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
You confound the world's wisdom in giving your kingdom to the lowly and the pure in heart. Give us such a hunger and thirst for justice and perseverance in striving for peace, that in our words and deeds the world may see the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please be seated and prepare your hearts, minds, and ears to hear the Word of God.
The first reading is from Micah chapter 6. Hear what the Lord says. Rise, Plead your case before the mountains and let the hills hear your voice. Hear, you mountains, the controversy of the Lord, and you, enduring foundations of the earth. For the Lord has a controversy with his people, and he will contend with Israel. O, my people, what have I done to you? In what way have I wearied you? Answer me. For I brought you up from the land of Egypt and redeemed you from the house of slavery, and I sent before you Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. Oh, my people, remember now what King Balak of Moab devised, what Balaam, son of Beor, answered him, and what happened from Shittim to Gilgal, that you may know the saving acts of the Lord. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow myself before God on high? Shall I come before him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams and 10,000s of rivers of oil? Shall I give my firstborn for my transgressions, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God? The word of the Lord.
Thank you.
The second reading is from 1 Corinthians. The message about the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it's written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since, in the wisdom of God, the world did not know God through wisdom, God decided through the foolishness of our proclamation to save those who believe. For Jews demand signs and Greeks desire wisdom, but we proclaim Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those who are the called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. For God's foolishness is wiser than human wisdom, and God's weakness is stronger than human strength. Consider your own call, sisters and brothers. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, things that are not, to reduce to nothing things that are, so that no one might boast in the presence of God. He's the source of your life in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In order that, as it is written, let the one who boasts boast in the Lord. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 5th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. The Gospel of the Lord.
Glory to you.
Please be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. There was an unwritten rule that I learned while I was growing up in my family of origin. In fact, I actually never once recall hearing this spoken out loud. Nevertheless, it was an unwritten rule of Otis and Esther who taught me, remember who and whose you are. Looking back, I'd have to say that some of the greatest lessons I learned came as a result of this unwritten rule, because through their sometimes stern looks and raised eyebrows, and at other times their approving nods and sparkling eyes, these unspoken words that I learned as a child have continued to shape me as an adult. In my family, that unwritten rule, remember who and whose you are, served to remind me that I was a Jones, and that my actions, good or bad, would reflect on the Jones family, of which I was a member. Perhaps some of you had a similar upbringing. From my experience, the unwritten rules often have more power than the clearly stated ones. Regardless, as children, we quickly learn that who and whose we are actually matters. Furthermore, how we act has consequences. And not just for ourselves, but for the people we love and the people who love us. For me, the bottom line was always that I knew that I was loved, no matter what, precisely because deep down I knew who and whose I was. Yet, in due time, I also came to understand that my parents were only entrusted with taking care of me and my siblings for a relatively short period of time. As I matured, I came to believe that who and whose I was actually meant that I was part of a much larger family and that I belonged to God. The waters of baptism, as we gave thanks to God for the baptism, the gift of baptism, reminded this morning that in those waters of baptism, for me, it was an even stronger force than the bonds that originated within my nuclear family. And remembering who and whose I am reminds me that I am blessed by God. And so are you. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. In our gospel reading for today, Jesus begins his public ministry with a teaching seminar. It's often referred to as the Sermon on the Mount, but it's clear that Jesus is teaching in these first few verses. Perhaps before he's finished, he'll have reminded his students who and whose they are. Blessed are you, Jesus proclaims. Blessed are you. One can assume he was reminding not only his disciples of this truth, but also the crowds who had begun to follow him. Which means that it's also a safe bet that this includes you and me. Jesus is also reminding us of who and whose we are. To know who we are as members of the body of Christ, and to know whose we are, children of God, leads us to a secure knowledge of our identity and purpose as a community of faith. For Matthew's community, a persecuted community, hearing these blessings would have taken them way back in their history, back to the time of the covenant of blessing that God had bestowed on their ancestor Abraham. It would have served as a reminder for them of who and whose they are. Descendants of Abraham, yes. But even more importantly, beloved children of the beloved. They were being reminded that through God's promises of long ago, they too were blessed. And like Abraham, they were blessed to be a blessing to the nations. Not only was Jesus reminding them of who and whose they are, he was also telling them who they will become if they follow him. In her reflections on the Beatitudes, Professor Emeritus Martha Stoltz encourages us to pay attention to how Jesus addresses his audience. She writes, "Jesus seems to be talking about others and the transformations they will begin to experience. Just when his hearers think that this is all about someone else, the final beatitude addresses them directly. Blessed are you. Blessed are you. Professor Stortz goes on to write, scholars divide these others into two categories. The first four beatitudes describe those in need of help. The poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. The second four beatitudes describe those who help them. The merciful, the peacemakers, the pure in heart, those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake. And then in verse 11, everyone, both the helped and the helpers, are swept up in a direct address. Blessed are you. Not they or them. Blessed are you. It may be, she says, that this is Jesus' version of that old tired joke that divides the world into two kinds of people. You know, the ones that begin, there are two kinds of people in the world. There are, and there are. The divisions in time, in Jesus' time, were cruel ones. Male and female. Jew and Gentile. Slave and free. Righteous and unrighteous, pure and impure. In our own times, those divisions may be equally cruel. Liberal and conservative, black and white, rich and poor, housed and unhoused, insider and outsider. Jesus challenges all these divisions, implying that in the world according to God, the only division that matters is those who need help and those who help them. Two types of people. Those who need help and those who help them. While Martha's commentary provides helpful insights, it's also important for us to acknowledge that sometimes we fall into one of those two categories ourselves. We could be in the category of needing help. We could be in the category of those providing help. Either way, just as our faith ancestor Abraham was blessed by God, all of us are blessed as well. Indeed, together we are blessed. Blessed to be a blessing to the nations. That is to say, we are blessed to be a blessing to those we encounter each and every day of our lives, in our homes, in our communities, in our world. Empowered by the Holy Spirit, dwelling in, with, and among us, we are called as a community of faith. Just as the prophet Micah proclaimed, we are called to do justice, to love kindness, to walk humbly with our God. But first, we would do well to remind ourselves of who and whose we are. As beloved children of the beloved, our identity and our purpose is our shared mission, the mission to which God has called us and continues to call us. And so, fed and nourished at the table by the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthened by that meal, let us go forth in peace to share the light of Christ so that others may come to know who and whose they are. That they too are blessed by God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
the whole church, let us confess our Christian faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended to heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Called together to follow Jesus, we pray for the church, the world, and all in need. Cultivate humility in your church. In the gatherings of every size, teach us to boast only in the cross. Shape your church to be people of kindness, generosity, and justice. Merciful God, hear our prayer. The foundations of the earth bear witness to your faithfulness. The mountains and hills echo with your holiness. When we mistreat your creation, show us the error of our ways. Inspire us with reverent awe to honor all you have made. Merciful God, hear our prayer. You make foolish the wisdom of the world. Raise up honorable leaders who seek justice, love mercy, and pursue peace. Frustrate plans that are corrupt, wicked, and self-seeking. Prosper the work of peacemakers. Merciful God, hear our prayer. As with your people Israel, remind this congregation of your saving acts. Remind us how your faithfulness brought us through difficulties and sustained us despite our weaknesses. Establish the cross as the center of our life together. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Bless all whom the world rejects. Accompany those who are regarded as foolish, weak, low, and despised. Reveal your power and presence at work where it is least expected. Give your life, strength, and wisdom to all in need. Heal the sick, injured, and recovering. Comfort the grieving and accompany the isolated. We pray especially this week for Betsy Berg, Terry Chapp, Chuck Dietz, Gail Hadelberg, James Pontius, Marnie Reinmuth, Jeff and Gretchen Seamus, and Norma Vetris. Merciful God, hear our prayer. Praise to you for your blessed saints at every time and place, including those who have died. Trusting you accompanied them in poverty, persecution, and in every trial, we trust you abide with your people always and comfort all of us who grieve, especially remembering those who loved Robert Davis, Becky Sherson's stepfather, who died this past week. Merciful God, hear our prayer. We bring to you our needs and hopes, O God, trusting your wisdom and power revealed in Christ crucified. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you. pray.
Creator God, we offer with joy and thanksgiving what you've first given us, ourselves, our time, and our possessions, signs of your gracious love. Receive these gifts for the sake of him who offers himself to us through this simple meal of bread and wine. Strengthen us through this meal in faith towards you and in fervent love for one another. We ask this through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right and salutary that we should at all times and at all places offer thanks and praise to you, O Lord, Holy Father, through Christ our Lord. Sharing our life, he lived among us to reveal your glory and love, that our darkness should give way to his own brilliant light. And so, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth. In mercy for our fallen world, you gave your only Son, that all those who believe in him should not perish, but have eternal life. We give thanks to you for the salvation you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Send now your Holy Spirit into our hearts, that we may receive our Lord with a living faith as he comes to us in his Holy Supper. Amen. Come, Lord Jesus. The night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this in remembrance of me." Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated. For distribution this morning, we'll invite you to come forward through the center aisle, receive the bread in the form of a wafer, and then dip it in the cup. The cup contains red wine or white grape juice. This is Christ's meal, and it is Christ who bids you come. All are welcome at the Lord's table.
Amen.
and now. May the body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. Holy One, we thank you for the healing that springs forth abundantly from this table. Renew our strength to do justice, love kindness, and journey humbly with you. Amen. A few announcements of our life together this week. First, as you see noted in your bulletin, join us for Together Tuesdays. They continue, but this week we have a special winter picnic supper, and this is being organized by Ginger Bopp, and you see, please plan on coming, and if you're willing to bring anything, contact Ginger so she can kind of plan around that. And if you can't bring anything, come anyway. This is a joyous time to be together. The children's choir has rehearsal at 6, the meals at 5:15, and Music Together meets, and adults meet with me in the library for a class on the series Lutheran Theology, A Grammar of Faith. Second is, notice that a week from today, the Ecumenical Ministries of Oregon invite all who are interested in an Earth Summit about care for creation. That's on February 5th from 1:30 to 5:30, and Camp Lutherwood is one of the host sites, and that's supported by the Oregon Synod of the ELCA. If you'd like to know more about that or how you could sign up, feel free to talk to me after service. And then finally, most importantly for today, directly after service, semi-annual congregational meeting in the parish hall. We have several important matters to discuss and vote on. Please plan on attending and staying there. For those of you joining us online, you can find the Zoom link to participate online. It was emailed to you, or you can go on the Connect to Central website, click on the This Week tab, and you'll find it under the events with the link there. So even if you can't be in person, join us on Zoom. During that meeting, children are invited to meet at the Godly Playroom. With those announcements, I invite all who are able to stand. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. share the light of Christ. Thanks be to God. There's treats in the parish hall.